Tinnitus. I said, that's a biblical fact, man. And that's how you get healed. Amen. Titus. Ephesians is where it's at. But Titus. Now I'm going to do something I don't usually do. I'm going to go through, and don't get scared now, okay? There's all kind of preachings. I usually do topical preachings. I have a topic that I think Lord led me to help people with, you know, maybe like this morning, you know. I'm going to take this little book, and I'm going to take it apart, and I'm going to show you some things in this book. Now, it's going to be teaching, preaching. I don't know if I'll get excited or not. I may not. I probably will. But I want to teach you something tonight. Now, Sunday night's when serious disciples go to church, people that really want to know something. And so I want to help you, okay? Now, I can't waste any time, so I got to get to work. All right, you ready? Titus chapter 1, look at verse 1. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through, underline that word, preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. To Titus, mine own son, after the common faith, this is somebody that won to the Christ, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting. Now I'm going to stop right there on that verse, and we'll come back to that verse in a minute. But here's the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Ghost of God, word for word, God breathed. And he's just not writing a letter now. This is what God's given him to write. And he's writing it to this young preacher, Titus. And it's a pastoral, we call them pastoral epistles. It's a letter written to a pastor on things about pastoring. But it's in the Bible, so all of it's good for everybody. Don't let people tear your Bible apart and say, this is only for them, this is only for them. The whole book's for us. The whole book. And so Paul is writing to Titus, and he's instructing Titus how a church, a local church, should be organized and how it should be directed. Not a do-it-yourself church, as is popping up all over this country. Not a do-it-yourself church. Not one of these that's popping up. We don't know where it came from. We used to call them jackleg preachers. I don't know what jackleg means, but that's what we called them. I hope I ain't cussing, but that's what we called them, wasn't it? You old people, you know what I'm talking about. We said that jackleg preacher, that jackleg mechanic. I don't know what that means, but it didn't sound good, so I threw it in there, okay? But not a do-it-yourself church. Not one of these have it your way churches, organized by have it your way pastors, and led by have it your way leaders. He was telling him, this is the way God wants you to run a church. This is the way a church is to be organized. And listen to me. Now this morning I encouraged you about the Lord. Tonight I want to teach you about what he wants us to do as a church. As a church, okay? Now everybody in here claims this church. And we got maybe one or two visitors that doesn't. But if they hang around long enough, they'll catch it. And had a lady leave this morning, and she was crying, and she said, I just love it. I just love this church. And she said, I'm a Methodist, but I love a Baptist church. And I looked up right there in front of her. I said, I'm fixing to baptize another Methodist. Amen. Won't be long. and Holroyd knows who she is. And but boy, she is so excited. But see, the church is too valuable just to have pop-up junk. And they're everywhere. There's pop-up churches everywhere. Some guy one day, he got something under his crawl. Y'all know what that means. A burr under his saddle. Y'all know what that means, you know. He got mad at somebody about something in the church, so he just decided, well, bless the Lord, oh my soul, I'll go start one and do it my way. Well, that's not what the Bible teaches. That's not what the Bible teaches. You just can't go out here and rent a building and tell everybody God told you to start a church, and now you're a preacher, you're a prophet, or whatever they claim to be nowadays. And he's right into Titus. He said there in verse 5, He said that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting. There's some things that have to be set in order. Some things that are wanting. Some things that have to be desired. Some things that you've got to do in order to have a biblical church. Are you still with me? Okay, I may lose you before I'm through or get you mad, but that's okay. All right, now listen. I thought about this. Number one, I want you to look at verse 5 again, that last part. And ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. For bishop, now you got to remember, elder, bishop, pastor, all the same thing, same qualifications. For a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, that means he ain't into fighting, not given to filthy lucre, that means he doesn't preach for money, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, amen, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught. Got to have some teaching if you're going to preach. You just don't jump up and start preaching until somebody teaches you something. You know. But anyway, holding fast the faithful word as he's been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort, y'all going to do it, let's do it, and to convince the gainsayers. Now, a church must have leaders. It is not a free-for-all. You understand that? A church is not a free-for-all. Some of you may be acquainted with the Quakers. The Quakers was started by a man named William Penn. Some of you know your history book, you know that. The Quakers have no leaders. The Quakers have no pastors. The Quakers have no real preachers. And so in the beginning, they just sit around like this, and they would sit there quietly and supposedly praying silently, asking God to move people until somebody stood up and said something. And whoever it was that stood up and said something was the preacher for that day. That's a dangerous thing to do. That is a dangerous thing to do. And by the way, did you know the Lord forgot to get most of them stand up because they didn't have him in them to start with? And so the church gradually died and it died and it died. And now it is so liberal and so weird that they're teaching all kind of strange doctrines. And so what I'm saying is this. Elders, bishops, pastors, leaders, the church has to be organized. It's not just, well, let's meet over here at Cherry Park and have church. No, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. God's got to send some people. God's got to send a man. God's got to send some leaders. God's got to send some followers. You can't just have pop-up church. It doesn't work that way. And Paul's telling Titus what to do. Now, he gave him the qualifications. Now, those qualifications, verse 5 through 9, nobody reads them anymore. They're not requests. They're qualifications. They're not goals that a man is working himself to. He's supposed to already have them before he starts.
Amen.
Yeah. I'll never forget at our mother church, and I was against it, and our pastor wanted to ordain this man. And the man, I had been in Sunday school with him before, and he knew hardly any Bible at all. And he had good intentions, but he had little knowledge, almost no knowledge at all. And during the questioning, during the ordination committee, I was on it. And during the questioning, I said, "Can you quote me 5 Bible verses?" No. I said, "Can you quote me 3 Bible verses?" No. I said, "Can you quote me 1 whole Bible verse?" "Well, I know pieces of this one and that one, but I don't know the addresses." After we asked him all the questions, he left the room, and I told my pastor, I said, "Pastor, I'm not comfortable with this. This man knows nothing about the Bible." And I love my pastor to death, and I wouldn't speak ill of death. He's in heaven. I look forward to seeing him again. But here's what he said. He said, "Well, he can learn as he goes." I said, "That's not what the Bible says. Being a pastor, elder, bishop, or leader in the local church is not a learn-as-you-go position. It's too important for that. People, their lives are going to hang on what he says is in the Word of God. If he doesn't know the Word of God, they have no hope, no more than they had before he got there. Maybe less, because he might confuse them."
Amen. Come on. Yeah.
Nowadays, you got pop-up church. This woman pops up one day and says she's a prophetess. And she rents a store building, and she puts Holy Ghost, fire baptized, Church of God of the Union Assembly in Christ in America. Name so long, you can only put the letters on the side of the van. The initials. A man pops up one day, and he says, I'm a preacher, and I'm going to start me a church. And he goes over here, and there was one on the way to Gastonia. You may still be there. The name of it was Firehouse. Firehouse. I said, that's certainly the opposite of what I would want to name a church. Firehouse had big old flames on the sign. Firehouse. I thought, well, that sounds more like going to hell than it does going to heaven. Amen. But he popped up and decided he was going to be a preacher, and he was going to have a church. And the Apostle Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, he says, Titus, here's the qualifications. They are not goals. Amen. They're not to be grown into. They're not to be learned as you go. You better already have this when you start. Amen? Amen. And by the way, you can't have a church without a pastor. I tell people that all the time. You can't have a church without a pastor. I'll take you to every church in this town that's failed, and I'll show you why it's failed. It's because they either voted somebody in that was not a pastor, or they just didn't vote a pastor in at all. There's a church sitting over off Slough Street right now, lost their pastor in 1981. They've not had a pastor since. They pay old retired preachers, and little young boys come in there, $50 a sermon, one time a week. They let them come in and preach 30 minutes, and they go home, and they've not had a pastor, and they went from 300 to 6 in that time. They have 6 people. And the only reason those 6 people are there is they consider themselves the owners of the property. They're no longer members, they're owners. Come on, help me. And the Apostle Paul, under inspiration, and look, this kind of stuff's not popular to say. People say, well, you're mean, you're judging, who are you? I'm just reading you the scriptures. Amen? Amen. These are the qualifications. Now, look at verse 10. In verse 10, he said, for there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. These Jews that had slipped into church who were not saved, he's talking about. Whose mouths must be stopped. Who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. You see that? One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, and slow bellies. He's calling his own people that. This witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. You see that? Unto the pure, all things are pure, but unto them they are defiled, and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient unto every good work. You see that? Now, he said, number one, there's some qualifications for leadership in local church, and number two, there needs to be some strong leaders in the local church. Now, I don't like confrontation. My wife will tell you I hate confrontation. I hate confrontation. Now, I'll stand up here and preach it, and y'all say, boy, he's going, no, I'm not. When I'm down there, I'm not. I'm a pussycat. I hate confrontation. I don't like to fight. I don't like to fuss. But, you know, in every church, there needs to be leaders, Brother Ron, that will draw the line and say, "This it's not going any farther than this. This is it. We won't do this. We won't do that. In this church, I'm a leader in this church, and we draw the line right here because unbelieving people and people that are trying to hurt you and deny the very scriptures, those people are getting control of the congregation, and they're not helping it, they're hurting it. Amen. Come on. Yeah. Watch out. The day and age we live in, our country's full of these people. Yes. Full of these people. They're denying the scriptures. They're denying the lifestyle that we'll live. I challenge you. I don't know how many of you got internet. I don't even know how many of you know what YouTube is. But first time I heard of it, I thought that was a funny name, YouTube. But you go if you have the internet, you go on YouTube and I dare you just enter on the search engine on YouTube. There's a blank there where you can search and type in biker church. I dare you. I dare you to do it. some of the ungodliest. Type in New Generation Church. I dare you to do it. Type this stuff in. Some of y'all have been to these churches. Nod your head. You know what I'm talking about. Some jackleg got up one day and said he was a preacher, and some other jacklegs decided they'd help him, and they started what they called a church. Amen. And now you go in there, and boy, they look just like Black Sabbath singing and playing. They got that hair going, you know, and took me back to the 70s and 80s watching that stuff. Boom, 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 boom. Sound like an Iron Man or something. It's awful. It's awful. Some of y'all don't even know what I'm talking about. Some of you do. Forgive me. Forgive me, forgive me. Some of them sound like Steppenwolf. Amen? Some of y'all remember them too, don't you? I can't even name the songs they sung. But they look like them, they dress like them, and they sing like them, and they sound like them. And listen to this, they live like them too. And they come to church on Sunday and they say, "You can't judge me. Who made you boss? You can't judge us." Well, I got news for you. I'm pastoring this church and I can judge. That's why I'm pastor. I can judge. I'm supposed to make some judgment. The shepherd's supposed to look out for the sheep. Amen? This ain't a place where anybody can come in and do anything. No, sir. And listen, a new church, and we're still fairly a new church, 10 years old. A new church, people just, boy, when we first started, we had some of the craziest people in town come through here. A new church attracts those things because they think it's a free-for-all. You understand me? You still with me, Jeffrey? You don't even know what I'm talking about. You ain't never been places like this. And you don't know. He said when he drove up in the yard the first time, he looked at his wife and said, "What you done got me into?" But he ain't never been to a crazy church. He just came to a good church. Amen? But we need strong leaders. Now, that doesn't mean just me. I'm not a dictator. I'm not a dictator. Y'all vote on everything around here just about, except my preaching and stuff like that. I don't care if you paint. I better not say that. I used to say I don't care what color you paint the place, but now they paint them black. I don't want. There ain't nobody painting these walls and ceiling black while I'm here. Amen. We ain't getting no black lights and no flashing strobe lights. We're not getting a smoke machine. Amen. We quit smoking, didn't we? Amen. She said, "We're not giving out any earplugs when you come in the door back there." Amen. And so listen, there should be common spiritual standards for different groups in the church. Look at chapter 2. "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in the faith, in charity, in patience." There ain't nothing worse than a silly old man that wants to live like he's 16 years old. Amen. I see them all the time. You go to the store, here's a 65-year-old man with a diamond stud right here. And he's got a ponytail. I don't know why. He's bald-headed on top. He ought to make it a comb-over. Amen. He can just comb it over and glue it down with some Elmer's glue. He'd look better than a ponytail. And now they got man buns. That is the sissiest thing I ever seen in my life. I had long hair when I was a teenager, but I didn't have no stinking ponytail, and I didn't have an earring, nose ring, or any other kind of ring. And if I'd have seen a man with a bun, I'd said, "That ain't a man." Amen? Sound doctrine. Sound doctrine. What? Age men. Act. Grow up! Act like you're a man. Amen? We're supposed to be the example. And the age women. Uh-oh. Here's where it gets hot. I don't know why. "The aged women likewise." Likewise. Hello. I went to this church one day and this woman, the secretary, came to the door and she was wearing the same. She was 59 years old and she had the same blue jeans she had on when she was 16. And I wanted to look at her and say, "Lady, those things must hurt. Because you weigh 75 pounds more than you did when you bought those things." Amen. 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 The women likewise, that they be in behavior is becoming holiness. That's a word you don't hear, ain't it? Holiness. They like to retranslate that to something else. Holiness. That means holy like God. Godly. Godly. Amen. Holy. Holy. And not false accusers. Not given to much wine. Don't sit at home and drink wine and watch soap operas, you sorry rascal. If you got time to do that, go get you a job. Amen. 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 Not given to much wine. Teachers of good things. You got a gossip fence, turn it into a gospel fence. Amen. Go out there and talk about everything. You talk about the Lord. That they may teach the young women. See that? I want y'all to look up here at me. I don't really know what a transgender is, but I can tell you this. I'm not a woman. I've never been a woman. I've never wanted to be a woman. I am so happy I am not a woman. Amen. I've been a boy baby. The day I was born, I was a boy baby. I've been a boy baby ever since. And I'm not confused on that, okay? So I don't always know how women feel. My wife, she'll come to me sometimes. She'll say, I need to talk to you. Something you said. You probably hurt somebody's feelings. Well, I'm not a woman. I don't know what hurts your feelings. I know you can't hurt a man's feelings if he don't have a man bun or a ponytail. I know you can't hurt a man's feelings. He'll look at you and say, oh, well. You know, he'll laugh at you. But Billy, I don't know. We need some aged women that will teach the younger women. I ain't never had a woman problem. Amen. I'm an old man. Top to bottom. Old man. Then I dropped my microphone. I was a woman, I wouldn't have done that. But anyway, listen, that the age of women, that they teach the younger women. You know, it wouldn't hurt you older ladies sometime to go to some of these younger ladies and say, listen, I want to take you to lunch. I want to talk to you a little bit. And give them some advice, some Christian advice. And here's the way I would do it, and I do this sometimes. I say, you know, when I was younger, I did something stupid. And I usually tell them what I did that was stupid. And then I look at them and say, don't do that. Yeah. And they know what I'm talking about. They know that they're probably already doing that. And I saw it. And I'm trying to rebuke them a little bit and teach them even more. And look, aged ladies, teach these younger ladies. Look, they've got to have it. They ain't going to learn on television. Amen. 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 Y'all mad yet? Hang on. Hang on. We're getting there. He said, teach them what? To be sober. To love their husbands. To love their children. You say, well, that's unspoken. Not the day we're in. Somebody needs to teach them. That's your husband. Love him. Pay him some attention. There's a hussy out there that will if you won't. Pay him some attention. Watch over that fella. Tell him, even if his teeth falling out and his hair is falling out and he's got 50 pounds overweight, tell him he's the best looking man you've ever known. Amen. Tell him, tell him he's handsome. Amen. Come on, ladies. Tell him. Listen, love your husband. Love your children. Don't look at your children and tell them they're stupid. Look at them. Tell them that's the smartest things you've ever seen. Amen. Love your children. To be discreet. Oh, my goodness. You know what discreet means? It knows when to talk, when not to talk. And when to walk, when not to walk. And what to wear and what not to wear. And who to hang around with and who not to hang around with. That's discretion. Amen. Teach those young men. The older women are supposed to do that. See, teach them. Teach them to be discreet. Chaste. Need I explain that one? Chaste. Sexually. You got one man, one woman, one husband, one wife. Chaste. If you're not married, he's not your husband, and she's not your wife, it's fornication or adultery. Amen. Oh, man, it got quiet that time, didn't it? Amen. 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 And listen, he said, do this, and you ain't going to like this. Keepers at home. Yeah. Keepers at home. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not against a woman working if she has to, but I got news for you. If you have a husband that works and makes pretty good money, you don't have to have two cars, three cars. You don't have to have the biggest house in town. You don't have to have the best clothes in town. If you've got a husband that'll work and take care of you, you ought to take care of him and his house and his youngins. Now, I know that don't always work. And sometimes ladies have to work part-time. I mean, even you have to work. I understand that. But look, especially younger women with younger children, we sat down, we counted the cost. I worked at the bleachery. I made $7.25 an hour. We were working 3 or 4 days a week when we wasn't getting laid off. And we sat down and counted the cost, me and my wife, and we were having babies. And let's count the cost. We've got to buy clothes for you if you're going to work. She said, yeah. All right. We got to buy lunches and lunch stuff. Yeah. We got to have another automobile. Yeah. Got to have gas to go in it, insurance, all these things. And we sat down and kind of estimated it, and we came out $50 a week ahead. I said, I can work over a couple hours a week and make $50. Stay at home with my children. And we had hard times, and we sacrificed. We did. But that's what he says to do, because somebody needs to raise your children. Amen. I better go on. Got awful quiet. I knew it would. Listen. It says, can anybody tell me what that next word is after keepers at home? Good. Teach them to be good. They don't have to be like the Kardashians. They don't have to be like the Atlanta housewives or whatever other that trash is they're watching on television. Amen. Obedient to their own what? Whoa. Obedient? Southern Baptist Convention a few years ago in one of their meetings had a big uproar over this, because now they're voting in women pastors and deaconesses and everything else. And they changed that. They said, you don't have to put that word in there, obedient to the husbands. Yeah, the Bible does, but they don't. And so look at this. Why? That the word of God be not blasphemed. You know what that means? When our neighbors can look at our house and say, if that's a Christian, the woods is full of them. If that's the kind that goes to that church, I ain't going. That's what it means. The word of God be blasphemed. And then likewise, look here, verse 6. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. You know what sober-minded means? Not only not on drugs and alcohol, but keep your wits about you and have some common sense and don't be silly and stupid. That's in the South Carolina translation. Don't be stupid. Except we would say stupid. Amen. And look at this. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works in doctrine. How many preachers in this town you heard get up and say, I don't preach doctrine? Well, he's disobeying the Bible. Amen. In doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, soundness of speech that cannot be condemned. That he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Now, there ought to be some common spiritual standards in the church. Every one of us need to be godly examples for new converts and for our children, for our grandchildren, for our neighbors, for the world that's watching us. And look, we all fall. I know that. We all fail. But as a mature Christian, when we do fail, it ought to be something on the inside they can't even see. Amen. We ought to get to the point where when people look at us, they can't see anything wrong with us. Amen. Well, you don't judge people by what... Yes, they do. They judge us that way. What are you talking about on the inside? Well, I got mad the other day at this guy that cut me off in traffic, and I didn't cuss. But if somebody had, I'd have said amen. That was wrong. Ought not been like that. I was so mad at that guy. I was mad. Y'all wouldn't like riding with me. I'm worse than Belinda. I got one speed wide open. That's it. And people get in my way, and I just get mad at them. I just say, dumb Yankee. I know it's a Yankee. Southerners wouldn't drive that way. Oh, I'm sorry, brother. I forgot where you was from. But see, the world couldn't see that. They didn't see what was on the inside of me. I didn't jump out and give him the high sign or beat him up. Amen. So what I'm saying is we ought to, as far as the church goes, we ought to have some common spiritual standards that we can recognize each other, and that we can, when we meet together, we have some things in common spiritually that we all agree on. Amen. You know, you go to some churches, this side over here, they think it's all right to drink liquor, this side don't. Yeah. You go to some churches, you have to blow the smoke out from in front of you, get in the front door. They all stand in the doorway smoking cigarettes. On fire for God. Yeah. Yeah, some churches, they think it's all right to listen to rap music. And then others think, no, you can't listen to rap, but they listen to country. There ought to be some common spiritual understanding in the local church of what's right and what's wrong. And we've only got one book to get that from. That's right here. And Titus is writing to Paul. I'm 2-3 minutes over. I got to quit. Now, look here. Look at chapter 2. Look at verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us. Now here's what the grace of God taught you. That denying ungodliness, I deny it. I'm not going to take it. And worldly lust, I'm not going after that. That's a lust. I'm not going after that. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Why? Look at verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself to us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. You see that? Now, godliness is the object of every bit of this. You don't hear that word much anymore. Godliness is the object. It's the goal. Now, in the church, it's not like the rest of the world. It's not. You didn't like that, did you? The church is not like the rest of the world. we have a book of rules in order right here. There's no question in what we're supposed to believe or how we're supposed to act or look or anything else. It's all written right there. There's no voting on that. There's no consensus on that. There's no poll on that. It's just God said it, and that settles it. And by doing that in the local church, the world looks at us and says, how do all those people in one place agree so much on this thing? And then we get to tell them, the grace of God has bought us, and the grace of God has brought us to where we are today. Amen. If you're saved, you've been saved any time at all, you're not what you used to be. We were knocking on doors yesterday down on Collins Street, and I talked to this one young lady. She came to the door, and she was from Chicago. And she came to the door right across the street from you. And she was staying over there with that guy that drives an Uber or something, huh? I ain't figured that one out. But anyway, I said, are you a Christian? She said, yes. I said, oh, you've accepted Jesus Christ, your personal Savior. Oh, yeah. I said, so then you've been born again. She said, no, I've never been born again. I said, that's what saved is, being born again. Well, what does that mean? Now, I'm standing there in 48-degree weather in the shade, and that guy's standing behind her telling her to shut the door, so there wasn't a whole lot of time to tell her. I said, well, the salvation comes with a new birth. When you're born again, 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. When you're born again, you have been saved by the grace of God. He gives you a new heart, new mind, new spirit, new everything, and you're a new creature. And she'd never heard that. Been in church all her life, never heard that. Never heard that. Now, there's some churches that don't preach that anymore. They preach that you need to join church, you'll be all right. Get baptized, you'll be all right. Do good deeds, give to the Shriners, you know, and give to the Hay Jazz and the Lions Club, the Moose Lodge, and all this stuff. And don't drink too much liquor. And don't fight your neighbor. Don't be a racist and all kinds of stuff like that. But they're not teaching them, you must be born again. So you go in that church, and you got all these different groups that believe different things, and they, hey, God does nothing there. Because everything he does is decently and in order. God's a God of order. You know, he didn't walk out during creation and say, poof, and make everything at one time. He took a day for each part of it. He took a day. 6 days he worked. Orderly. He set things in order. He set them up the way He wanted them to do for until He ends time and starts it all over. He set it in motion, orderly. When He creates the church, He creates it decently and in order. There's a place for the moving of the Spirit. There's a place for testimonies. There's a place for praising the Lord. There's a place for all those things. But doctrinally, scripturally, leadership, all that's already set up in the Bible. There's no question about it. Now, one of these days, I might have a heart attack. I probably won't. I plan on preaching all of your funerals. I'm going to outlive every one of you. Yours, too. Don't sit there and act like it's 17 years old. That don't mean nothing to me. My mama's 98 years old. I'm taking after my mama. Amen. I look like her. Amen. And so I plan on preaching all your funerals, every one of you. But let me tell you something. Listen. One of these days I'm going to die. Or either I'm going to get something going to happen. I can't preach no more. And here's what somebody's going to tempt you to do. Well, you know, we really don't need a pastor. We can just take turns. You'll be as confused as a termite in a yo-yo within a month. Half your congregation will be gone in less than a month. And then somebody will come up and they'll say, well, I know just about as much about the Bible as Ron Roddy did. I can do it. And he or she, nowadays you never know, will stand up here and try to do it, but God didn't put them there. And it won't work. No matter what the good intentions, people have great intentions. Great intentions. No matter how good the intention. We got to do it. And God wrote a book called Titus through the Apostle Paul. Amen. To teach us how to be a church body and individual church members that He can bless it. And you know what I expect out of people at this church? I expect that. That's what I expect right there. Jesus said, pray therefore the Lord of harvest that He send forth laborers, for the laborers are few, but the harvest is plenteous. You know why people don't want to be laborers? Have you ever been a laborer? I went to work for Duke Power when I was a young man. I'd just gotten saved. I quit the mill, went to work for Duke Power. And everybody told me I was going to become a rich man working for Duke Power. Really? You're going to make a lot of money working for Duke Power. And I went out there to that nuclear plant, and they put me on a Mexican backhoe. You know what a Mexican backhoe is? It's a shovel. And I shoveled for 90 days. I shoveled in the summertime. Hot, golly, hot. Rain, shovel. Heat, shovel, 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 shovel. And you know what I was? I was a laborer. Everybody that went to work out there had to go as a laborer. Then after 90 days, you could apply for something else. And you know what a laborer does? He does what people tell him to do. He makes no decisions. He does what people tell him to do. And most of them just lean on their shovel. Until the boss man hollers at me, get to work over there, boy. Now, the Bible says, pray therefore the Lord of harvest, He sends forth laborers. Everybody can't be pastor. I didn't even want the job. I got it. I didn't apply to be a preacher, and I got it. I didn't want to be one. Never asked to be. Never had the idea. But I got it. Now, I'm going to do it as unto the Lord. I'm going to do it, and I'm going to do it scripturally. Now, all I ask of you is that you do your part, whatever that is. You do it as unto the Lord, and you do it scripturally. And you know what happened? We just read it. Others will see it, and they'll want what we have. Everybody's looking for what you got. It'd shock you how many people walk in that door when they leave. They'll say, man, I've been looking for a church like this. Three walked out today and said, man, I've been looking for preaching like that. Been a long time since I heard singing like that. And they're looking for it. And they'll go to that hippie church or that horse church. They call them cowboy churches. I call them horse churches. They go to those churches and they say, no, they ain't looking for that. And after a while, they get tired of it and they just quit going to church altogether. Yep. And that's where you and I come in. We need to be good examples. We need to be good examples. That's your job. That's my job. That they know they can go to a place that's still biblical and it's done decently and in order, and God still shows up because of it. We don't make it up. Now, if you're not saved, you have not a clue what I just talked about. Because you're spiritually blind, you don't see it. You think I'm crazy, and I may be. I don't have papers to prove it yet. Some of y'all do, but I may be. But I am confirmed and convinced in what I believe. And I'm not changing.
Amen. Yeah.
Teresa, you still with me? Listen, I got saved 39 years ago today. 39 years ago today. And you know, I believe exactly the same thing today as I did that day. I started preaching in 1981. I was licensed in 82, ordained in 83. And you know, I'm still using the same Bible. You know, I hadn't changed a thing. That's not saying that I haven't learned things. I have. But it's all that book, and it's all His way. Now, I've been to college. Whoop-de-doo. I passed some tests. So what? You could have passed. I've done some studies. I've been to seminars and conferences. Whoop-de-doo. You could have went. Got the same thing I did. And I have learned some things. But the most important thing is the old song we should sing, like a tree planted by the water, I shall not be moved. I'm not changing. It's not because I'm hard-headed, it's because I'm satisfied. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Are you satisfied? If you ain't, you can always get satisfied. Just kneel at the cross and say, Lord, I want to get in on something like that. Amen. Yeah. Let's stand. Father, You know every one of our hearts. Lord, I preached a pastoral message.